22nd chapter of Genesis this evening. Genesis chapter 22 and the 14 that was coming out, or the verses I want to read, verses 1 through 14. I wonder if you'd stand with me tonight while I read the scripture. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or a better word would be test, Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Father, we pray that you'll come and speak to our hearts by thy Spirit. We pray that you'll minister to us tonight what we need, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This tremendous man of faith, Abraham, who lived over 4,000 years ago, has been a real blessing to me many, many times, especially during the preparation of these sermons, as I've looked at his life again this time. But this is probably the very best example in the Bible, this 22nd chapter, of trust in the character and integrity of God on the part of a man of faith, and of how trusting God and obeying him completely sets us free to be all that God would have us to be. The background we've set across the past few weeks, Abraham is not a novice in faith. He's left his country, he's left his father's people. He's gone beyond what his father did in obeying God, and he's chosen to do the right thing in his choices. He's sought God's will. He's played it straight with God and with his fellow man. He's given God everything God has ever asked. Remember that? How he fought the buzzards off of his sacrifice and kept his sacrifice on the altar. And what we didn't need to study was finally he's become the father of little Isaac. Isaac's grown up and he's watched him grow. And you can just imagine how proud now this man is. He's still a man of vigor. 115, 116 years of age, and yet he lived to be 176. A strong man, a man of God, man of faith. And this sturdy son that was an impossibility, a miracle, is now strong. That's the setting of the background for tonight. And now God does a stunning thing. Abraham's consecration is tested to the very core. It looks like God's an Indian giver. For he says, take what I have given you as a miracle. Take the very dearest thing. Not give up evil things. Not give up the things of the world. Not give up sinful pleasures. But I have given you Isaac. Take what I've given you now and go to a place that I'll show you and offer your son as a sacrifice to me. Why did God do it? I can't presume to know all the answers. But I'm sure that it comes through loud and clear. What Abraham did is an example for all of us. Abraham's call is your call and my call. And whatever it is that we hold dear, even if God himself has given it to us, we must be careful to hold lightly, or it will come between us and God. And ultimately, we will destroy both what it is that we hold dear, and we will destroy ourselves as well. There can only be one center in our lives, and God has to be the center. We can't have two centers. And so whatever it was that God was asking Abraham, I'm sure he's asking us too. God asks that we too surrender our Isaac, not because he's selfish and wants to spoil our good time, but so that we indeed may each be whole persons. And our integrity stems from having our life indeed centered in the source of all life. This may be the most single important message you ever get. Maybe you won't get it tonight. But before you're through, you've got to get this message somewhere. And I want to study Abraham's response briefly. Abraham was a man of God. This kind of a call from God doesn't go out to the world. It doesn't go out to the person who's playing fast and loose with God. It doesn't go to the person who doesn't know whether or not he's a Christian. Abraham was a mighty man of God. He'd been wholly obedient to God. And so when it became apparent that this was indeed God that was speaking, you don't get a hint of rebellion here. God says, Abraham, and he says, here I am. What do you want? He didn't expect to have this laid on him. God says, take your son and sacrifice him to me. And the next verse says, in the morning, Abraham rose up early and he was on his way. 3 days' journey to sacrifice his son. Not any rebellion. I know that God will never ask us to do anything violent like this. This is kind of out of character as far as we're concerned of God. And yet it tells me that no passive surrender or consecration will suffice with God. Like Abraham, I have to actively obey, and obedience proves that I'm a man of God. If I don't obey, I don't have faith. And I covet more than anything else to be a man of God. And I covet for you to be men and women of God. If you're going to be that way, it's got to be an active faith. Here I am. What is it, Lord? Then Abraham was not only a man of faith. Abraham was a loving man. And I don't have time to prove this to you, but he made intercession. He said, let no strife be between you and me, and so on and so forth. And I have no doubt in my own mind, but that he would have given his own life for the life of his child and said, let me die instead. But it's precisely at the point of love that Abraham is being challenged And there can be no question of loyalty. God says, it's great to have love, but love stems from your relationship to me. And God will have no rivals. And so Abraham is affirming by his love, I believe God is good. I believe that he won't do anything really evil. I don't understand this, but I will obey him. And my love will be supremely for him. This is what Jesus meant when he said, if any man come after me and hate not his father and mother. Doesn't mean you should really hate them, but in comparison, there's no comparison. There's one loyalty. It sets you free after a while to say, God wants me to be primarily concerned with pleasing him. Not too much with concerned with pleasing anybody else. Praise the Lord. And you can do it. You can please him. And then Abraham was a man of faith. That's what we know him as. He's the father of faith. Father of the people of faith. And he doesn't understand God's commandment, but by now he knows God. And he knows that God's not going to fail him. He doesn't know how God's going to meet things here. But you just notice it says in verse 5, the men said, he says to the men, you stay here and take care of the animals. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and we'll come back again. Doesn't mean he's not going to kill him. No, he's going to sacrifice him. But he knows God's going to do something miraculous. And he says, we'll be back. And then the lad himself asks the question, Father, you've got all the implements. I've seen you make sacrifice before. Where's the sacrifice? Son, the Lord will provide. I don't know what was going on in his mind. I wouldn't presume to go on in his mind, to read his mind. But the writer of Hebrews, many years later, Hebrews 11:19, said that Abraham on the way up that mountain was accounting that God was able to raise Isaac up even from the dead, from whence he also was received in a figure. As far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was gone the first day that God asked for him. It was yes all the way. He just went that three-day journey and up to the top of that mountain to prove to you and me later on that he meant business with God. When God said, I want Isaac, Abraham says, you've got him. And that's the kind of faith it takes until we can say, Lord Jesus, whatever it is in my life that's the most precious, it will not be a rival to you, but I give it to you. I'm not preaching tonight consecration in order that you can get sanctified. I'm speaking of the kind of consecration that we have to give to God day by day to prove that we really do belong to God. You can't come to some big crisis in your life and say yes and surrender to God and say, that's in the back, that's past now. Now I can just live like I please. But we go by the way of the cross and we say yes and we give God all that he asks for. And then we just live with our hands loose. And we say, everything that's good and everything that's wonderful God has given to me, it's not mine. It's yours. And so we don't give up our Isaac in order to get sanctified, but we give up Isaac in order to prove that we really belong to God. And I want to challenge you tonight not to go the second class route, but to be men and women of God and give God everything he asks for. What good could possibly come of this story of human sacrifice, what seemed to be a story of human sacrifice? I think there are some secondary things here that are really beautiful, and I could dwell on them a little while. Abraham became a perfect type of Father God, the fatherhood of God, the first person of the Trinity, in lovingly giving up a son. And we see a perfect picture of God the Father in Abraham. That's beautiful. And then Abraham himself was personally assured that God really loved him and cared for him and would provide. But Abraham became a living pattern for me and for you. This abundant life includes a continuing trust and obey relationship. It was like Lillian Irwin said last week when Dick was interviewing her. She said, I quit giving my life to God, and now every day I say, this is your day, Lord. What do you want me to do? That's the secret. It's easy enough to give him a life in a big... Well, it's not easy either. It's a tough thing to come and really surrender and say, from now on, I'm going to belong to you. But where the rub is, then when we get up every day and say, all right, Lord, here's another day of that life I've given to you. What do you want me to do today? And we surrender the days and the hours. Also, Abraham tells me that every new blessing that God gives me becomes a potential rival of God himself for my affections, for my purpose in living. But thank God our blessings do not need to usurp first place. Every good and perfect gift can be laid upon the altar. But that surrender has to be genuine too. It's not just on paper. We don't come to the altar clinging close to our Isaac and say, I know you're not going to make me give him up, Lord. We come and we give him to God. Not my will, but thine be done. But heaven's abundance waits to be poured out on those who dare to give totally to God everything that they have. God takes nothing by halves. God gives nothing by halves. And we can have the whole of God when God can have the whole of us. I want to just close tonight by asking you, what's your Isaac? Shall we pray? Lord, this is a bitter pill. It's a tough message. And yet, Lord, help us to see that it really gets us into the center and gets God into the center of our lives. And we pray that you'll help us as men of God and women of God to reaffirm tonight that we belong to you. We're so thankful that everything that is good you want to use and bless. You don't want to destroy Isaac, but you don't want Isaac to take your place in our lives either. And so search my heart tonight. Oh, God, be the center of my own heart. And Lord, let nothing there that's precious and dear, and how many things you've given to me that are so wonderful. And I thank you. But Lord, they're yours. Search our hearts, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name.